Well, good morning. And I'm forgetting about that. I'm not used to doing this in person anymore. It is really, really nice to be back in a church building leading worship again. It has been forever. So it's lovely to be back here. Before we start worship this morning, I have a few intimations. First of all, Christian Aid. Now, Suzanne is going to be doing a 26-mile kilt walk in aid of Christian Aid. And if you would like to sponsor her with that, you can donate through the church website, What's Hot page, and you'll find details there. And if you manage to get your donation in before the 3rd of May, it will be boosted with an extra 50% from the Hunter Foundation. Muriel Gration is in charge of the Smarty Tubes this year, and she's sitting at the back there. So if you would like to get a Smarty Tube to fill, have a chat with her about that. And finally, I'm afraid I have some very sad news to share with you this morning. Shirley Milne passed away in the early hours of Friday morning in ARI with Charlie and Lynette at her side. And I'm sure we all pass our sympathy on to the family. Let us come together to worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Let us worship God as we pray together. Let us pray. Loving Father, King of glory and Prince of peace, we come before you now, gathered together as your people. We are thankful that some of us can be together physically once again, but even more grateful that we can worship together across time and distance. We have learned over the past year how to approach you as a community, separated physically, yet united through your Holy Spirit. May we never forget these lessons. May they never lose their value. We ask that we are aware of your presence amongst us today, that you may fill us with your Holy Spirit as we come before you in worship and praise. Amen. I would love to say we're going to sing, we're not, but we're going to listen to You Are the King of Glory.
Oh,
I should have said at the beginning, if I start coughing, I apologise. I have had COVID. I now have some long COVID and have had pleurisy. So it's nothing infectious, but it's just sometimes, especially in the morning, I start to cough. So I apologise for that in advance. Our Bible reading this morning is from the book of Acts, reading from chapter 3, reading from verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And from 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." Amen, and let us give thanks for this reading from his holy word. Let us pray. All that I am, and all that I have, and all that I ever hope to be, I lay before you now. Speak through my words, that all present far and near may hear your voice and know your presence deep in their hearts. Amen. Now, if you were listening to the online service last week, you may have heard Neil say that these Sundays following Easter are a time when we can fully explore why Easter had to happen, what it meant for the early Christians, and what it can mean for us today. I think he put it a little bit more succinctly than that when he said, "So what?" The passage from Acts needs a little bit of context. It does feel as though we've kind of jumped in the middle of the story and the background hasn't been laid out. Peter and John were entering the temple by the gate called Beautiful. Now, this was the entrance into what was known as the women's courts, where public worship would have taken place several times a day. This may also have been translated as the gate called the Hour or the gate called Light. But whatever its name, it was a place of division between the Gentiles, who were kept in the outer courts, the middle courts, where only Jews could gather, and then further in there would have been a court for men only, and then the priestly sanctums right at the centre. But this gate was a public place, and there was a beggar who sat there at the gate every day. He was lame, and he relied on others to carry him there so that he could receive largesse from the crowds of people entering and leaving the temple. It was a very shrewd sight. Hopefully those going into the temple would like to curry favour through generosity, and those leaving would maybe be feeling a bit uplifted and want to spread the love a little. So Peter and John came past, and he expected them to give him some money. But they had something better. They gave him the ability to walk. Now, the ability to walk in itself would be an amazing gift if you've been lame since birth. But it was more than that. This created a possibility for him, the possibility of working, of earning money for himself, of having pride. He was whole and was able to worship God inside the temple courts, not just observing the proceedings from the outside. And it says that the people were astonished. Well, they often are when they witness miracles. This man, who used to beg outside the temple, he was inside, walking and jumping and giving God the glory for the gift of his legs. So what does Peter do? Does he say, "Look at me? Aren't I amazing? Look what I did." No. He takes this public opportunity and he preaches the gospel to his fellow Jews. As I said, there would have been no Gentiles in this area, so it was purely Jews. These were people who, from a very young age, would have been taught from the Torah. They would have known the Psalms. They would have heard about the prophets. They would know of prophecies, and they would have knowledge of God, his laws, his promises, and his past actions. And Peter says, "You rejected Jesus. You handed him over to Pilate to be crucified." Now, some of the people present may have been there when Jesus was crucified, but not all of them. Some may have been supporters of Jesus, whilst others might have been crying for his death. Peter himself had denied knowledge of him. So when he's standing there pointing the accusatory finger at the people around him, he is also pointing at himself. But he's also pointing down the generations to us. You should have known better. You've read the scriptures. You've read your Bible. Why are you surprised at a miracle of healing? The passage in 1 John, that tells us that we are part of God's family, and therefore we should be able to recognize acts and actions which come from God. It wasn't Peter who healed the man, but God working through Peter. And God's miraculous power has been evident since the dawn of time and before. But from Abraham and Sarah, parenting a child in their old age. There was manna and water and quails in the desert. There's healing miracles. God has provided for his children in the most amazing of ways, feeding them and sustaining them down the ages. This miracle in Acts is nothing more than a continuation of evidence of God's power and love. So if we truly know God, we walk with him, we talk with him, we study his word, then why will we be surprised by his actions? Peter takes this as his evidence for the miracle of Jesus being raised from the dead. "You were ignorant," he tells the crowd. "You did not properly examine the evidence before you, and you sinned by rejecting God when you rejected Jesus and sent him to his death instead of a murderer." In law, ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking it. "I didn't know I shouldn't park there." Or maybe even, "I didn't know that you didn't allow stealing in this shop. There's no signs and no one told me." Well, that doesn't really hold an awful lot of water in a court of law. You should know the law. You should know what is right and you should know what is wrong. But God didn't do that. He did hand the law down to his people. It was written down. studied by scholars, taught in the synagogues and the temples, and still Peter's able to say, you didn't know, you didn't understand. So God is giving you an opportunity to repent of your actions. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. God has taken what is wrong and broken and meant for harm and flipped it on its head for good. It is because Jesus was crucified, and it is because I have faith in his resurrection and in him, that God was able to heal this man. God will wipe away sins if people repent and turn to him. But more than that, God will take weakness and turn it to strength. He will give wisdom to the ignorant. And in verse 19, he says that there will be a time of refreshing when sins are wiped out. I like that, a time of refreshing. Makes you think of lazy sunny days, long cool drinks, maybe even a good book, some escapism. To be refreshed by the Holy Spirit would be to be fully immersed in its power, to be soaked through in the love of God. And who wouldn't want that? This passage is part of a pattern for evangelism. It is one seen time and again through the Gospels and the New Testament. First, there is an action. In this case, a healing miracle. And then there is the preaching of the gospel. Peter explains the importance of the resurrection and the forgiveness of sin and the need for repentance. And then finally, a response is demanded. And this is the measure of the success of the first two stages. The response may be positive, excited, wanting to know more. The call to repentance is overwhelming. And people accept Jesus into their hearts and their lives. Or maybe the response is negative. The crowd becomes angry or restless. Peter and John were arrested later in this passage for proclaiming the resurrection, and they were thrown into jail. And let's face it, Paul frequently found himself on the sharp end of angry crowds or officials. But either of these responses means that people have heard you, heard what you're saying. Maybe they agree with you, or maybe they don't. But you've affected them and you've stirred them up. They're challenged by what you have said. I like it when I leave church, and even if I disagree with the minister, I'm talking about it. But the third response is apathy. You do you, as Katie likes to say to us, attitude. Not really listening, not really caring. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for diversity and for discussing differences within Christianity and between faiths. These conversations can be fruitful and enriching, helping our faith and our understanding to grow, drawing us closer to God and closer to other people too. We don't always have to agree. But what I'm talking about is that shrug of the shoulders, it doesn't affect me, so why should I care, response. And if that's the response, then let's face it, the message hasn't got across. But this is nothing new. It's easy to blame the younger generation and say that they aren't listening. But are we teaching them? Peter said to Jews who would have known their Torah inside out, mainly by memory, you acted in ignorance. You didn't understand. You heard the words, but they held no meaning for you. God is giving you another opportunity to get it right. Our actions matter. When we act as Christians, when we act with love and patience and compassion, then we can explain our actions with the words of the gospel. Our strength and our wisdom are not ours. They come from God alone. When we preach that through actions and words, then people are more likely to respond with a strong emotion. So this morning, let us be refreshed by God, hosed down by the Holy Spirit, and soaked to the skin with gifts of love, joy, grace, and peace. And may our immersion in these qualities be evident to all as we challenge the world with the real experience of his redeeming love. Amen. We have another song now, Before the Throne of God Above. Let us pray. Loving Father God, you created us, you love us, you sustain us. We can rely on you to fulfill all our needs. And yet we are proud. We try to go it alone. We hear your word, but we do not truly listen. We set ourselves up in judgment above others and think that we always know best. It is hard to ask you to humble us, to remind us that you are the one in control. It fights against our instincts and our will. And yet this is what we must ask you to do, that we may truly dwell in your light. We cannot be truly free unless we turn to you and break the temptation of placing your creation above you in importance. When we have been hasty in our words, our thoughts, or our actions, please forgive us. When we have worshipped money or time or people, by setting them above you in our hearts, we ask for your forgiveness. Direct our feet, Father, to follow the path which you have set for us, that we may resist the temptations which come before us. We ask for you to refresh us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be surrounded in your love, and that it may shine from us in all that we think and say and do. We bring before you now our prayers for others, and we pray for those who have lost loved ones, in particular Charlie, Lynette, and the family of Shirley Milne. May they know your loving care, and may they find comfort in the knowledge that Shirley is at peace with you after her time of illness. We pray for the Queen and the royal family as they mourn the loss of a husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. To us, he was a public figure, but to them, he was family. As they gather together to grieve, we are reminded that those in the public eye have to deal with the constants of life in the same way as the rest of us. Like many families, there are divisions, scandals, and losses, and they have to not only deal with the fallout of these in private, but also manage the public response. We ask that they may know your peace and your healing power at this difficult time. As the local schools return this week, full time for the first time since before Christmas, we ask that the pupils, teachers, and support staff receive your blessing. This has been a difficult time for all, but the uncertainty which our youngsters have had to deal with has been hard. We pray that they may be supported academically, and that we are required they may receive the help they need to support their mental health and well-being as well. We give thanks for the teachers who have faced situations outwith their wildest imaginings and who have faced it with courage and care for the young people. We bring before you now our personal prayers for our loved ones, our community, and the wider world. May you add your blessing to the prayers of our mouths and the prayers of our hearts as we say together the words which your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to close worship with the song, He That Is In Us.
Thank you.
as we leave this place today, may we feel refreshed by your Holy Spirit and spread that sense of renewal to all we meet in the week to come. We ask this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.